Oh, Father, we love you, Lord. We just love you, Lord, and we thank you for what you're that you have become part of our life, and not only a part, Lord, you're the main focus of our life, Lord. And we praise you for that, Lord. And we thank you that tonight's going to be a special night, Lord. That you're going to be in amongst us, working in around us, and teaching us and showing us things, Lord, and allowing us to speak the oracles that you have given us. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we thank you, Father, for working this flesh out of us and working the world out of us, Lord. And we just praise you for that, Father. I just thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in each one of us. And Father, we just thank you for a special night of fellowship and praise, Lord, for you. And we just ask, Lord, that this night be specially for you, that we're going to give testimonies of the greatness of your mercy and your grace upon us, and your peace that you put in our hearts, and your rest that you put in, and a joy. Oh, my goodness, Lord. Thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Okay. All right. Let's see here. Are there any prayer requests right now? Well, all right. Listen. I want to declare something. Y'all allow me to declare something?
Amen.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Hey, let's just declare this, that the Lord lifted us up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. He put our feet upon the rock. He made our footstep firm. He put a new song in our mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and trust in the Lord, and blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord, and has not turned to the proud, nor lapsed into falsehood. Many, O Lord my God, are the ones who the vow is done. Thou thoughts are toward us. There's none to compare to thee. Our ears are opened up. And then we said, Behold, Lord, we come to thee. We scroll in the book. It is written of us. We delight to do thy will, O my God, because thy law is written in and unto our hearts, because we've been born again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. We are kept by the power of God through faith and through salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Although we have never seen you, Lord, we love you. And although we don't see you right now, we bless you, we praise you, we trust you, and we rejoice with a joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving you by faith, even the salvation of our soul, because we have been redeemed. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who without blemish, without spot, we have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Jesus Christ is our cornerstone. He is the living stone, rejected of man, but chosen of God. We are lively stones. It makes up a spiritual house, offers up spiritual sacrifices, captive God in Jesus Christ. Glory to God. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood. We are a peculiar people to show forth praises unto him who delivered us out of darkness into the kingdom. His blood is running, who we have a redemption and the forgiveness of all our sins, who his own self has taken every weakness, sickness, disease, infirmity, curse, and sin, and by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are healed, delivered, and set free in Jesus' name. Now, does everybody receive that?
Amen.
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 Amen. Praise you,
Amen.
Father. All right. Now, do we have any prayer requests? Well, let me pray then. I want to pray. Father, I lift up Allison to you, and I thank you, Lord, that you are bringing her to that place of repentance. that, Father, you're going to open up her eyes. I believe that, Lord, that tonight is going to be the night. I specifically declare that tonight you're going to open up her eyes to the kingdom of heaven, Father, and I thank you for it. I command those devils to get the blinders off of her right now in the name of Jesus. I command every devil that's ever tormented her to leave her right now in the name of Jesus. And I declare and decree that she is saved, born of God, born of the blood of Jesus, and she's bought by that blood. And I praise you, Father, that you have saved her and going to make a lighthouse for the rest of her family in Jesus' name. Y'all help me to believe that.
Amen.
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 Me too. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Boy, I feel the Holy Spirit in this room tonight. I do.
Michael.
Oh, glory to God. Yes, go ahead, Gano.
I was going to share a verse that I got by random this morning.
Okay, yes.
It's from Psalm 129, and the heading over this chapter is Prayer for the Overthrow of Zion's Enemies. And my finger was on verse 5, Let them be put to shame and turned backward, all they that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withereth before it groweth up. I just read two verses, but I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, it's it shows us we don't need to fear because they've already been defeated.
Amen. Amen. Let them be put to shame and turned backward, all they that hate Zion. Thank you, Lord. I'm on. Can I read the rest of it?
You sure can. I didn't want to, go on and on.
I want to read the whole thing. Many
okay,
a time have
good.
They afflicted me from my youth up. Let Israel now say, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth up, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back. How many of you had a plow going up your back? I have. They made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous. He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Let them be put to shame and turn backward, all they that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withereth before it groweth up, wherewith the reaper filleth not his hand, nor he that bindeth sheaves his bosom. Neither do they that go by say, The blessings of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of our enemies. Amen. All right, anybody else? Is that all, Gaynor? You got some more?
No, that was all.
Okay. All right, anybody else? Boy, it's a quiet bunch. What about testimonies and praise reports? Anybody got a testimony or a praise report? I hope I ain't scaring folks. I really do, because I'm having a good time in the Lord. Go ahead, Wade. Yeah, go ahead, brother.
This is
my wife wants it.
Well, it actually came from Wade about a couple of mornings ago. He woke up and said this. And I don't know if he remembers it or not.
Yeah, speak loudly.
Oh, well, just read this. What you gave.
Oh, it's just some words I spoke when I woke up in the morning. The other morning, I heard him in my conscience. God is sovereign. He is through, meaning his work is finished. It's completed. I don't have to worry about whether something has to be done. It's already taken care of.
Amen, brother. Glory to
and
God.
Also, we've been under kind of like a Gestapo-like treatment at the village. This is the village where we live, where they were doing inspections every month and rigorous inspections, and blind people in particular were having trouble. They'd have to pay to get their apartment clean and keep it clean until they were inspected because they weren't showing mercy on anybody. And blind people have a little trouble keeping their apartments clean when they live by themselves. And so I've been praying and and telling the manager that they got to stop having these inspections and all so often. Three a month, I mean, once every 3 months would be nice. And today or yesterday, she told us that it's once every 3 months now, and the inspection she started, she just did at random, and no more brutality, what I would call brutality. It wasn't fair to certain people. Anyway, I rejoiced at that, and just the Lord's been good to us all day. This would seem like a terror to me normally, but I wait to go grocery shopping every 3 weeks, grocery shopping, there was no cart for me, electric cart. I'm very large, and it's very hard for me to make a complete run without an electric cart. But I walked it, and I felt better and better the whole time I was walking. And I sweated a lot, but I got the shopping done, and I just want to thank God for getting me through it. And not only getting me through it, I enjoyed it. I had physical ability that I never thought I had.
And I want to say that we've been blessed all this week and last week. I mean, people have come to us with food.
We've been able to share a lot of food, too, and that's always a good thing.
Well, praise God. Sounds like Amen. God's setting y'all free.
Amen. There's been a joy in our life.
He's setting
us free. Amen. He is.
Amen.
The bondages we've had all our lives are slipping off.
Praise God. Bless. Thank you,
Amen.
Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right, Lord, we just thank you so much for setting Wade and Jeanette free. We thank you, Lord, for the physical ability that you're giving Wade. And, Father, we thank you that all of that stuff that's been on him in the past is dropping off like flies, like water on the back of a duck. And we praise you, Father, for it. And we thank you, Lord, that he's losing weight, he's gaining strength, and he's a man of God in his family that you've always wanted him to be, Lord. And we thank you for Sister Jeanette, too, that she is a praying mama. And we praise you for that, Lord. We thank you that both of them are set free by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Woo, come on, Jesus. What you think, Wade?
I had muted myself. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to see God moving. And I wish it would be like this all the time, and it can be, I think.
But well, sure, it can be.
I think there's time for retrospect, you know, to see what God's been doing, you know, some of the lesser joyful things, getting rid of them, for one thing.
I want to say that we went grocery shopping today, and I went to the machine to get some water, about 50 cents. I put in 50 cents, and guess what comes back?
Two.
Water bottles.
She's happy to receive two water bottles.
So I gave it to our friend that drives.
Praise and God. Thank you, Lord.
It's just little things like that.
Yeah, a lot of little things add up to a lot of goodness.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The Lord's blessing
the soft
will be,
Lord,
he's doing it with us.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Good testimony. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else? Got a praise report, a testimony, or a word from God?
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, Chris. Go ahead, brother.
Well, I want to brag on the Lord. Probably 6 months ago, Marlene and I started making some changes, downsizing, doing some things, and I sold some equipment. And during that time, I got on Craigslist and I bought a tractor. I sold a bunch of stuff and I bought one tractor. I figured I could use one for everything. Well, turns out, and I don't know how to word this. I don't want to speak the wrong things on the fellow, but it turns out the guy that I bought the tractor from was less than truthful about the equipment. And from the very beginning, I decided, or the Lord put it in my heart, not to condemn the fellow or not to to call him up, because I still have his phone number, not to call him up and give him what for and get all mad and everything. So every time that thought would come up in my mind, I would just pray for the man and that the money that I had paid him would bless him and his life, and that if I'm sure he realized what he had done, and I prayed that the Lord would come into his life and he would see a light shining through me. But I got busy doing some other stuff for the past 6 months or so, and through a string of events, I got some new tools and a few odds and ends that really make life easier and a lot more enjoyable, you know, kind of self-sufficient. If you're a farm boy, I'm sure you can understand, Michael, but so I had a little extra time off the past couple of days, and I kind of felt nudged along by the Lord to tinker with this tractor. So in the past 24, 36 hours, I have fixed everything that I had an issue with on this tractor. And every time, you know, multiple little things, it always seems like a little thing, but it was a big thing. After a while, the joys and the victories in Jesus start to add up after a while, and I got all these things fixed. And this morning I tackled the last thing, which was the biggest thing, and there's the particular part that John Deere charges you a whole bunch of money for, and I was missing a whole bunch of pieces for the tractor, so I made them. And praise God, it runs like a champ. I've been running around praising the Lord all day, just using the tractor right and left, and it's just a real blessing to have come to the place where I'm patient in the Lord. I'm trying to abide in the Lord in each and everything, and even though the enemy would throw these things back at me like, oh, that's not going to work, or it's just going to break again, or you don't know how to make that, the Lord gave me the strength and the courage and the boldness to persevere through everything. Don't tell John Deere I started making parts. It's just a blessing, and I've been praising the Lord, riding around in the field, in the yard with my arms up, praising the Lord, and it's just so wonderful that, you know, that we can turn to the Lord for each and every little thing, and I just thought it was such a wonderful, and I just wanted to share.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, you know, when we're doing what the Lord has told us to do, then things just seem to fall in place, don't they? Praise God. That's awesome.
Amen. I thought the key was, Michael, that the Lord worked through me to choose not to have anger toward this man. For the past 2 or 3 months, I've just been praying for him every time the enemy was throwing this at me. Oh, you need to call him up and get some money back. No, I decided to pray for the fella, and it's amazing what the Lord does through us.
Amen. That old flesh wants to retaliate, doesn't he? But then then praise God for God's goodness on us and showing us the Holy Spirit that helps us to overcome, because it is the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to overcome those fleshly desires. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. That's a good lesson, Chris. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Claudia.
Okay. Well, for the last few months, I've been asking the Lord to show me how he sees people instead of how I see people. And I had a dream that I went to an eye doctor, and he said I needed glasses, and he said they're white. That was the dream.
And he said you needed glasses and what?
And he said he's going to fit me for white glasses.
Well, praise God. Your spiritual eyes are going to be completely opened, right?
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Woo, come on, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else?
Hey, Michael, you ready for that dream?
All right, go ahead, brother.
Well, I have some questions about it, so, and I'd kind of prefer to run it by somebody else first, but, oh well, I think it's okay. I was on a street, and there was it was almost like a stagecoach, I'm not sure what, it was some kind of a vehicle, with a couple individuals seated way up high, and I could tell in the dream that they identified me and realized they had to take me out and then move on to the next target. So they're very evil-looking people. So they got down and started to deal with me, but somehow in the rules of engagement, they weren't allowed to touch me. They were just trying to use some kind of a spiritual witchcraft, something satanic against me. So I was just praying in tongues under my breath, not trying to be real obvious about it. And I could tell they were starting to get kind of frustrated. This other guy, one of the guys kind of got in my face. He was quite close. And then I started really going into tongues verbally, you know, quite audibly. And I thought, well, you know, I guess that's fine. So I started really, really earnestly praying. And then this other guy, I think it was the other person, the younger person was up on the left, and he started doing stuff. And I started really praying in tongues, and all of a sudden a little, like a two-foot thing appeared kind of in between them, and I started praying for that individual or whatever it was, and the guy to my right, who was the older one, he kind of got a smirk on his face, and then I realized it was a little demon. So I was just praying and getting more and more earnest, and I got to the point where I was starting to pray like I was almost in tears for these people, and my heart was just going out to them. And then, but they were just getting frustrated because they couldn't seem to get anywhere. So there's another guy who showed up. He was also quite high, and he started, he was going to try to take me on. And so he started, and I don't know if this is actually something they do in satanic circles or whatever, but he with his hands, and also I could kind of visualize what he was doing. He was creating like four or five quadrants around me, and that was supposed to take me out. This is all, you know, spiritual, but I could kind of see the shape. It wasn't really rectangular. It was like these four kind of rectangles that were all in part of one big shape that was he was trying to superimpose on me. And I was just praying in tongues for him, and it, of course, against what he was doing. And something that kind of occurred to me was that I didn't want to be praying because I was scared and raising my voice out of fear. I was just simply addressing the situation, you know, because I've heard some people who get in bad or dangerous situations where they feel threatened and they start praying in tongues really ballistically, you know, just which I guess is a natural reaction. But so anyway, so then all these people just kind of, I don't know, they all just kind of went away. I don't know where they went. So then I started seeking them out, and I started looking around this, and I found the younger guy. It looked like he was he stopped at a diner and was trying to get something to eat and was trying to relax or something. And I went up to him, and I really started going after him with tongues. Poor guy couldn't escape. So I guess that's kind of the end of that. It was one of these kind of dreams where you wake up, and it was right just before I woke up, and it was like this very intense thing that was going on. And so I got up, was going around the house, and I was still in tongues. I was just really praying. Not for the people in the dreams, because I don't know who they were, but just praying about, you know, situations around me and people that I've been praying for. So I'm not sure what to make of that. It was just a very interesting warfare thing that was going on there. And it's just interesting that they couldn't really touch me physically, but also whatever they were doing didn't seem to be working for them either, spiritually. So back to you.
Okay. It sounds like that the Lord may be warning you of an impending attack that may not come to any good, but we're going to pray against it. What do you think?
You mean attack that may not be successful?
Their attack, it sounds like, but we're going to pray against it so it won't be successful.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just come against any kind of witchcraft or voodoo or anything that's coming against Malcolm or anybody in this conference call in the name of Jesus. And we command it to cease its attacks. We count every word curse that's spoken against anybody in this conference call, and Malcolm and all of us included, be counted as null and void right now. We throw it to the ground as null and void. It's not going to have any effect on any of us because we're sealed by the blood of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that any attack from the enemy is not going to happen against us. It's not going to have success. And we praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. And I believe it, and I hope y'all do too.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, that's good. Praise you, Lord, for your warnings. We praise you, Lord, for giving us these warnings so that we can pray against them and come against them in Jesus' name. Now, that word that Gaynold had, that was, that we keep praying against those attacks. And God's keeping his family. He's keeping us holy, too. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And he's setting us free. Thank you, Lord. These are wonderful times we're fixing to come into. And that's why God is doing these things to us. You know, these are things that are happening to us now that, man, years ago, I would have never thought possible that God would talk to us and show us things and heal us and set us free like he has. And it's just amazing to me. And he's showing us about spiritual warfare. And I praise God for it, too. Because we have thwarted the enemy's attack over and over and over again. And I know y'all have too. And I praise you, Lord, for showing us these things and getting us ready for this time ahead. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else?
Michael, I should maybe add to that. There is somebody I've been dealing with for the first time in several decades that is probably quite adept at satanic stuff and all those things, has been very involved in heavy duty into occult type stuff, I think. So although I haven't asked him specifically, so anyway, it just occurred to me that may have been happening, and I just needed to deal with it. And so I continued to pray for that person, and because I feel like the timing for them is that God's about to do something for them and release them out of that jail.
Amen. Amen. Oh. You want to pray for them so we can all believe with you?
Yeah. Lord, yeah, thank you that, Lord, I really thank you so much that you have, first of all, that you've offered such, or done such an incredible thing on the cross and achieving incredible success already at the cross for us. And I pray now that I thank you that you have delivered us and set us free and made us meet for the inheritance of the saints in light, like it says in that Colossians or Ephesians. I keep getting them mixed up, first part. But, Lord, I want to pray for this individual here. I just thank you that that whatever you've allowed to come into their life, the terrible stuff, that you are going to use all that to your glory. And there's going to be a great deliverance and a great healing and a great all kinds of things for that person. And I know that you have tremendous power and authority, and no amount of allegiance to Satan and Lucifer can, and you have people's hearts in your hands, Lord, and I just thank you for that, that you can just turn somebody and deliver them because of Jesus' blood. Thank you. Show us, Lord, how to apply Jesus' blood and to not waste any of it. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for bringing this couple into your kingdom. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Got a testimony, a praise report, or just want to talk about Jesus?
Michael?
Hey. Go ahead, brother.
Just want some prayer, please. I'm going through some stress. I just want to try to ask the Lord for open my eyes and learn from the trials I'm going through. Please. Father, please thank you for the time you had. Thank you for giving me some trials going through. I know I don't understand everything, but I know what is the best for me to learn from it. And ask you to open my eyes and stand fast for the trials I'm going through. Ask you else in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Father. We thank you, Lord, for opening up Joe's spiritual eyes and his ears. And Father, we thank you for wisdom that you're imparting to him right now. Right now, imparting wisdom to Joe and understanding into your word, Lord. And we praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, that you've given him discernment in the spiritual realm as well. And we thank you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, for helping Joe see the spiritual aspects of the things that you want him to, Lord. And we praise you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And let him have these dreams and be able to interpret them for him, Lord. And we thank you for allowing him to hear your voice, Lord. And to know that you're with him, Lord. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in Joe and Nora, all the way over there in South Africa, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you for their faithfulness of getting up early in the morning just to be on here with us, Lord. And we thank you for that. Amen. Ooh, I believe you're fixing to start seeing some stuff, Joe, so be looking for it.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else?
Yeah, Michael. I'll just share what I think. The Lord was working with me here this over the weekend anyway. When we done our Bible study Sunday, it was about grace. And where I'm reading in the book that I'm reading now, it was about grace on Monday morning. And also on Monday morning, I got a passage that was about grace. And so I think the Lord is just reminding me about grace, because it's really easy to get thinking you have to do more or you have to do better, or, you know, you're not quite doing enough. And you've got to remember, it's not what we do or how much of it we do. It's all about grace. And so I think that's what the Lord has been working on me about.
Amen. That's right. Thank you, Lord. Ain't nothing we can do. It has to be from God. Thank you, Father. His grace is mighty stuff. Woo, come on, Jesus. All right, anyone else? Anybody else got a praise report, a testimony, a word from the Lord, or would like to pray?
Michael.
Yeah, Cheryl.
It's a small, like, testimony. It's nothing that I prayed for, but just the Lord was just showing me how he's already prepared these things, the miracles for us in beforehand. me and my stepdad went to go pick up my youngest son from school, and I was sitting in the back seat waiting, and we were sitting in line to pick him up, and I was sitting in the back seat, and he was in the front seat kind of digging in. We're trying to pass time. I was reading, and he was digging through the little console in the that you can put things in the middle of the seat. And I kind of looked down at my shoe, and I saw a long string on my sandal, and I thought, well, I'll have to remember to, when I get home, to get some scissors and cut that off, you know. And not even 5 seconds later, he picks up these little sewing scissors that come in these little sewing packets, and he said, wonder where these come from. And I just started laughing. I grabbed them from him. I said, thank you, Lord, and I cut the string off. He just had already prepared those scissors to be in there just for, you know, I mean, it wasn't something, you know, that I prayed for, but he just had prepared those scissors in there. And for my stepdad to bring it to my attention, he didn't, why would he have done that, you know, unless the Lord was, you know, because the Lord was just showing me. And he put it in his heart to raise just those scissors and, you know, and say, wonder how these got in here, you know. So he spoke, you know, about those scissors just to let me, know they were in there for me to use them.
Amen. He knows what we need before we ever ask for it, don't he?
Right.
Thank you, Lord. That is awesome. God is so good. He's so good to us. My gracious, he is so good. Thank you, Lord.
And I also want to pray for my, I don't know if they're together anymore, but my son's girlfriend, she's a non-believer. I tried to witness gently to her, and she just has a lot of, just don't believe the Bible and kind of, I guess has some anger, seems like, towards God. And I just, was kind of worried that she was going to pass off her unbelief on my son. But I had a, you know, I prayed that the Lord, I know he's in control. And I started at one point, my flesh was, like, kind of getting angry with her because of how she was, you know, manipulating my son. And the Lord just put a lot of love and compassion in my heart for her, and I just started praying for, for her salvation, and that the Lord would open up her eyes, because she's a good person, but she just has a lot of wrong understanding about God, and I'm just praying and believing that the Lord's going to open up her eyes and draw her to Him. So I just want to praise the Lord for putting the compassion and the love and putting the fight, you know, for me to come against the flesh and not give in to the anger or the resentment or whatever that was trying to come up and, you know, try to really fight with the flesh. And I know we don't, our battle's not with the flesh, it's with the evil spirits in the spiritual realm. So I just praise the Lord for putting that that in my heart and truly gave me a lot of compassion and love for her from my heart. So I'm thanking that the Lord, thank the Lord that he's putting, true love and compassion in my heart for others that are lost. And, you know, my flesh wants to try to come against. And I'm just thanking the Lord for the work he's doing in me.
Amen.
For her salvation.
Lord, we put our faith together with Cheryl, and we're going to believe for a mighty miracle in this girl's life. We thank you, Father, that it's going to happen in Jesus' name, and it's going to happen fast. She's going to see the power of God, and she's going to want to know what that was. And I thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Cheryl. Anybody else?
Michael.
Hey, Wade.
I have a request that the people in our village, we call it the village, just this apartment complex for the handicapped, there's a lot of spare time for a lot of people. and they spend it playing these bloody video games, and they get on that all night long and play all around the country, you know, joining up with different groups and all. And I was just hoping there would be something somehow that God would touch these people, and that very, some of them are very nice and good people otherwise, other than the video games, but it I want to pray that they'll God will give them something better than the video games, like the gospel.
All and, right, you go right ahead, brother, and we'll believe with you.
Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Lord Jesus, I lift up the young men and some women in the village that play video games all night long, Lord, and that you would give them something better, the gospel, or something to keep their time oriented, Lord, other than video games. Thank you, Lord. You care for these people. I can feel your love for them when I'm here, Lord. And I pray for these people, Lord, in Jesus' name.
I'd like to say something, too. New people have come in and all that. There's been a lot of alcoholism going around.
Yeah, alcohol.
I pray that would be broken, this alcoholism
mainly
going around.
A lot in the main building, too. A lot of alcohol. I know you don't know what the main building is, but it's 40 apartments. A lot of alcoholics have moved in there, and they stay around, cause trouble for a while, and then they end up usually getting kicked out or moving on. I pray that my wife prayed that the alcoholics would put their alcohol down or leave.
That they get that the alcohol, they take a drink and that. The alcohol
would make
them sick and throw up, and they wouldn't want
the
alcohol anymore, I
pray. Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just
Thank
come
you.
Against that spirit of alcoholism in that apartment complex. We command it to go in Jesus' name. And those who don't want to come into the kingdom, Father, we ask that you leave, that they leave with them in Jesus' name. But those that don't, Lord, we thank you for running them across Wade and Jeanette and any other Christians out of there, Lord, that they could give them the truth of the gospel. And we praise you, Father, that that whole complex here is going to come to Jesus, and it's going to be a light for that whole town of Lafayette, Louisiana, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus. Thank you, Father God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, you was talking before about God providing, something that we didn't ask for, really, or he knows ahead of time. I was driving down the street the other day, and I ran out of gas. I knew I was out of gas. I just forgot to put some in. But the car just was out, and it was really a busy street, and I was looking for a place to turn off, and I could see one way ahead, but I thought, well, I'll never make it there. The car won't coast that far. And that car just kept coasting. It was almost like somebody pushed it until I got right in that driveway and turned in there, and then it stopped. And I know that was the Lord, because that there was no way that car should have went that far.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm just going to tell on David a little bit. He never looks at his gas gauge. And, that's what they're for, is to look at. That's what I tell him. I constantly remind him that the gas gauge is to keep us in gas so that we don't run out. And we're liable to just strike out, and we're going somewhere that's a few miles away. And then that light will come on that says we're out of gas, that you probably got, I don't know how many miles they say you have when the light comes on. I think it's about 25 or 30 miles. And I said, we need to get some gas. Oh, we'll make it. I said, okay, let's go. Because I've ridden with him so many times that away that we never have run out of gas. He just believes, we just believe that we're going to make it. And we just say, okay, let's go. And before I used to get a little bit concerned, about running out of gas. But we hadn't run out of gas yet, and I praise God for it. That's just one lesson that he's taught me while living here with David. That's that faith that God's looking for in each one of us. Don't put God in a box. Don't put him in a box. Praise God. And he'll coast you to where you can get out of the way of the traffic, too. He can do that. He's done that to me before. Praise the Lord. All right, anybody else? I'd like to hear some more miracles of God. That's what I'd like to hear. Well, all right. I've got a little story here that I'd like to relate. And it's from that thing that I did the other night. Remarkable incidents in modern miracles through prayer and faith. The reason I want to relate this one is this one's got a truth in it that some of us may not know, and I want to relate it, and then we'll go over it and see if you can pick out what the Lord is teaching us through this little story. And it's by G.C. Bevington again. And this is from chapter 7, the children's chapter, he calls it. He says, I feel impressed to tell of little Katie and Edward. I knew them when I was in the mission work in Cincinnati. I found a wretched home where both the father and mother drank hard. They drank up all the money they could get and lived in filth. And they had a little girl, Katie. Then she was 7 years old. We got clothes for her and got her in Sunday school. And in the day school, we looked after them closely. As little Katie had never been in school, we started her in the kindergarten. She would learn the little songs and the blessings that were taught at their little tables at their lunchtime in the kindergarten. It was a very sweet crowd to look upon. We would slip in many a time just to see them in their little red chairs. So little Katie would take the little things that they were taught to take home with her. And she would repeat the songs and especially the blessings at the table. She would say their little blessings at the table at home. And this was amusing to the parents. Her father has told what a time Katie would have in getting him and her mother and the older sister and a brother all quiet while she would ask the blessings. Oftentimes they would be drunk, and she would have an awful time in getting them to fold their hands. They thought it quite cute in her, and so would allow her to ask the blessing. But by and by, it got hold of them, and soon both were found down at the altar crying for mercy. Well, God had a great time and getting them saved from their awful habits of so long standing. But he finally got them both saved. I soon got them a job out at Ivorydale at the Procter & Gamble soap factory, where the famous Ivory soap is made. Soon, 2 years slipped by. One time, as I was visiting the poor, I found a family that had not a thing in the house to eat. And there were four little children. I started up to Muse Bakery where I could get bread that was baked the day before. 2 loaves for a nickel. I had just 20 cents and was going to get a soup bone and some potatoes and 2 loaves of bread. Boy, wouldn't y'all like to have to, it didn't cost any more than that now. Anyway, he goes on. He said, well, as I was walking up toward the bakery, a voice said, go out to Katie's. I well remembered Katie, but just then was going after something for those four hungry children. It would take the 20 cents to go out to Ivorydale and back. So, of course, I thought that I couldn't go and kept on going toward Muse Bakery. But that voice kept on ringing in my ears, go out to Katie's. Well, I stopped and went through my pockets to see if I could find any more money. But I had not a cent more and kept going on after the eatables. And then the voice said, will you or will you not go out to Katie's? I stopped, seemingly paralyzed, and was trembling. And something I seldom did, and said, "Lord, I will go." And I looked up, and here came an Ivorydale car. I got on and went out. I stepped on the porch and knocked on the door. I then heard a sob, and a faint voice said, "Come in." And when I stepped in, there sat Katie back in the corner, caring for the baby. She said, "Oh, Mama, here's Brother Bevington." Well, I saw that Katie had been crying as her eyes were all red. I stepped up to her, laid my hand on her head, and said, "What is the trouble with my Katie?" She had grown so much in those 2 years. At that, the mother came in, gave me a hearty handshake, and said, "Brother Bevington, I am so glad you minded God and came out. I have been praying these 24 hours for God to send you out. Sit down there, and I will tell you why Katie has been crying so much. You see that house?" Pointing to it. "Yes." "And that path going from ours to that fence?" "Yes." "Well, those people are quite well off, have lots of money, and they have a boy, Edward, about Katie's age, a nice boy. He has plenty of money to spend. So he bought a croquet set, and it was in the orchard under the trees in the shade. When out of school, Katie takes the baby over there. She and Edward play croquet. Well, night before last, as they were playing, Edward's mama called him to go to the grocery, so Katie waited for him. Soon he returned, and they resumed play. But soon his mother called again and said, 'I'm sorry, but I forgot something. I guess you'll have to go again.' So off he went, in parentheses it says, 'And every boy should when mama calls,' but was gone longer than usual, so Katie came over to assist me in getting supper. Well, soon Edward came back, gathered up the set, counted the balls, and found one missing. He counted them over again. Yep, one was gone. Now, listen, children, as to how Satan will be right on hand to get children into trouble." And Satan said to Edward, "Now, Katie stole that ball, as she was the only one that was out there." "Yep," said Edward to himself, "she surely did. And I'm going to tell her, too." So he ran into the house and said, "I ain't going to have Katie Brown come over here anymore." "Why, Edward, what is wrong with Katie?" "Why, she stole one of my balls." "Now, you know better than that," said his mother. "No, I know she did." And so he ran over to the Browns and said, "I ain't going to have Katie come over anymore." "Why?" "Well, she stole one of my balls." "Oh, no." "Yes, she did. No one else was there, and one is gone." Well, Katie was in the dining room caring for the baby, and she came to the door and said, "Well, I never did." "Yes, you did," said Edward. And he went out and nailed up that hole in the fence. That was the hole that Katie would go under to get over to Edward's. Well, that was a hard blow on dear Katie. Although her parents had been drunkards, now that they had not drank any for over 2 years, she was being looked upon as a nice girl. Now, to have this said to her was just about all she could stand, so she cried and sobbed all night. So the mother told the father. Well, he said, "We know she never did." And then Katie didn't want to go to school, but they coaxed her to go. At recess, none of the children would play with her, nor allow her to play with them, as Edward was the leader in the school, as he would buy things for the other children, so they all looked up to him. He had told them that Katie had stolen his ball and that she was a thief and that they must not play with her. Well, poor Katie just sobbed and cried when she came home at noon, and she told how the children had treated her and said, "Oh, Mama, don't make me go to school." And then her mother said, "Oh, Katie, I think you ought to go to school. Mama, I don't want you to miss a day." "Oh, Mama doesn't want you to miss a day. I will go to praying for God to send our brother Bevington out, and he will help us get the matter straight." Well, Katie went, but they treated her worse. They all called her a thief. And as they came home at night, all of them went on the opposite side of the street. The worst thing was that they said that her father was nothing but an old drunkard anyway and wasn't fit to live with decent folks. She just could not stand that and hurried home crying as if her heart would break and said, "Oh, Mama, please don't make me go to school anymore tomorrow. Oh, Mama, I just can't endure it. Let me stay at home." When the father came, he said, "Well, let her stay at home, and we'll pray for God to send out Brother Bevington." And so they prayed. The mother prayed all night. Now, children, I want you to see how God will answer prayer. After this all-night prayer, you see, God was asking me to go out to Katie's, something that seemed foolish to me at the time, as I had started for eatables for that poor family. But God had to answer that mother's prayer, and so he went to work on me that morning. All the time that her mother related all this to me, Katie sat in the corner sobbing. So I went over and laid my hand on her head. She wiped the tears away and got a damp cloth and wiped her face. I said, "Now, Katie, I'm sure you never took that ball." "No, I never took it. But we can't prove it, and it will kill me unless we move away from here." I tell you, she was crying as if her heart would break. I said, "Katie, you belong to Jesus, don't you?" Between sobs, she said, "Yes." "Yes," said her mother. "Katie is a real Christian girl. All in the school say she is, and she has learned to read out here. She reads the Bible and prays every night and morning. Yes, I'm sure Katie is a little Christian, and she loves Jesus. She has gotten over 25 scholars into Sunday school. She is a faithful little soldier for Jesus." I said, "Katie, don't you remember the time that Jesus healed you downtown?" "Yes, I do." "Well, don't you believe that he will answer prayer today?" "Yes, I know he does. But how could he show Ed where that ball is?" "Well," I said, "let's get down on our knees and let Jesus talk and work for us." I called on the mother to pray, and she prayed. "Yes, dear Jesus, I know that you can do things. I know that you healed Katie and have done other things. I know you have and can do these things." Well, she kept praying that way for some time. Finally, I said, "Sister Brown, you're not hitting the mark at all. Children, I want you to remember that we must pray definitely to know and to say that Jesus has done such and such thing. Not enough. We have to go further than that." So I called on Katie. She was still sobbing, and she had quite a time getting out a few words, but she did better than the mother. She got to the place where she said, "I believe you will show Ed where it is." Well, that was getting pretty close to the mark, but it wasn't close enough yet. You see, children, if I wanted to drive a nail into a board, it would not affect the driving of the nail any unless I hit it. I might just glaze it, but that wouldn't work. I might hit close to it, all around it, but if I didn't hit the nail square on the head, I'd never get it in. So it's in our praying we have to hit the matter square by saying, "I know thou art doing it right now." You see, that's real faith, and it's going to bring the answer. Now, children, I want to tell you something. I want to show you how Satan will work. It was about 3 p.m. when I went to praying, and they were having recess at the school, and Edward was there at school. Now, the suggestion would naturally arise, how could we expect Ed to be finding that ball when he was at school some 5 blocks away from where the ball was missed? So when I began praying, Satan said, "It's foolish for you to say that God is showing Ed that ball now, for he's at the school 5 blocks from there." You see, here comes the test. I knew I would have to claim that Jesus was showing him right then where the ball was. So I kept praying up to the point, and the Holy Spirit kept leading me on. And in 2 or 3 minutes, I had reached the point. I said, "Yes, dear Jesus, thou art showing him right now. Hold on, said Satan. He can't be doing that. Then I shouted it out as loud as I could. He's doing it right now. I said that three times. And at the third time, the glory fell. And Katie jumped up, threw her arms around me, a-laughing and crying. Oh, Brother Bevington, I do believe it. Oh, I do believe it. Oh, I am so happy. I rose up and looked in her face, and all the tears, all the furrows were gone. All was bright, and she looked so beautiful as she smiled cheerfully. And while I was on my knees, I heard a rattledy bang, and off went that board. And here came Edward in with the ball, his hands covered with blood and his face scratched. He knelt down in front of Katie. He said afterward that that was the first time that he was ever on his knees, but he just wept there like a good fellow and asked her to forgive him as he had found the ball. Well, we had a great time rejoicing over it, and I said, now, Edward, we want you to tell us how you found the ball and why you're not at school. Now listen, children, here's something I want you to remember. God knew that morning that I would go out there and that I would claim Edward's finding the ball about 3 p.m. While that was the time Edward was usually in school, which would have been impossible. So that morning, Jesus made Edward unusually studious. He studied hard and had all his lessons seemed to come so easily that by recess in the afternoon he had all the lessons. And he went to the teacher and said, I have all my lessons. Would you like to hear them? And she said, well, yeah, I would. So she heard him and said, well, you have them all. So now if you want, you may go home. So he started down the street running, so glad to get out of school. Now, I would like to draw you a diagram, but we're not going to go through that. So we'll move on down. Let's see. Ed's father had 6 acres there, and on it was a large orchard. His lot ran back to the street west of the one he lived on, and part of it extended out to the street that the schoolhouse was on. Or the one Edward... Hang on just a minute. I have my phone going off. I'm sorry about that. Okay, let's see here. Edward's father had 6 acres there, and on it was a large orchard. His lot ran back to the street west of the one he lived on, and part of it extended out to the street that the schoolhouse was on, or the one Ed had been coming down on from school. And when the father was at home, more, they used a path running from their house across back to the street west of theirs and up to the corner of the street the schoolhouse was on. So Ed would go through a gate at the corner and go across to his house, thus save going down to the east street or turning south to his house. Well, his father got into politics and neglected this lot of berries until they had grown up all over and covered this path. That's probably blackberries, you know. So that Edward had not gone through there for several years. Now, I wonder how many from... Well, we'll forget that. Now, I'll tell you how he found the ball. He was running down this street, east and west, and when he got about halfway down from the corner of his father's lot west of him, he said that a voice said to him, now, this is Ed going home, go back and go through the orchard. Well, he stopped and looked around. There wasn't nobody in sight. Why, what could that mean, he thought. So he started on down from the lower corner where he would turn south for his home, and this same voice said, go back and go through the orchard. Why, he said, what can this mean? I can't go through the orchard now with all those briars in there covering the path. And Step kept going on. In a minute, he was stopped still. He could not move. And the same voice said, will you or will you not go through the orchard? So he turned back, went up to the corner, got down, looked down that path and said, well, I can't go through there. What does this mean? Am I going crazy? He starts back down the street for home and again was stopped still. He could not move a foot and had to go back, get down on his hands and knees, and crawl through those briars, scolding almost all the way. And when he was about two-thirds of the way through, his hand struck something that moved. He brushed the leaves away, and there was the ball. Now, I want you to see how God answered prayer and see how he had to work miracles in order to do so. What a time he had with me in the first place to get me to come out there, and how he made Edward study, and how he helped him in his lessons, as that was the first time he'd ever done that. Then see what a time he had in getting him to go back and through those briars, scratching his hands in faith. But you see, God had to answer this mother's prayer by sending me out, and then answer my prayer by making that boy do the ridiculous. So now, remember this, God will answer prayer. And I want you to realize that we have to shut our eyes to see what we might see and just blindly trust God. Had I failed to mind God, that opportunity would have been lost, and poor Katie would have been branded a thief, and probably her life would have been wrecked. I had to come to the place where I counted it done, even though Edward was in school. You see, God had it all planned out. Children, God wants to perform miracles, but we often have to do what seems ridiculous in order that he may. Well, after all this took place, the mother said, "You stay until after supper." And I was glad to do that, as it would give me a chance to visit with him a little and also find out how that ball got up there in the orchard. That interested me much, so I felt that the best way was to go out with the children and have a game of croquet. Croquette, I'm sorry. Praying that God would reveal just how the ball got out there. While we were playing, here came a pup, about half grown, grabbed the ball, ran up to that path in the briars. "Oh, Edward, this is the way that ball got up there." So you see, all things are possible to them that believe and obey God. Amen and amen. You see, children, I might have consulted my watch and said, "Well, Edward is in school now, so we got to postpone this until later." Then you see, God's plan would have been frustrated, and we never would have found out. So you can readily see how God can and will work through us if we are fully his and fully yielded up to him. You know, I thought as I read that story there that Bevington told about little Katie and Edward, and how he made sure that he directed his prayers in a way that it had already been done, just finding the ball, that Edward found that ball had already been done or was being done at the time that he spake it. And that's the way God wants. You know, we have to speak those things that are not as though they were. And God will do miracles. We can't be mamby-pamby about it and just pray in generalities. We have to be very specific in how we pray. And we must be praying at all times, you know. We always need to be praying specific, directly, and on target every time. And that enemy won't be able to work his way around it and find some kind of loose hole that he can get into. Does that make sense to everybody? Did everybody see what I was talking about in that little old story? And anybody have any comment on that?
Amen. I see what you're saying.
Amen. Chris, you know about that. You have to direct that praying, I know.
Yes, sir.
We have to be right on target every time. And, you know, just like he was praying, you know, about Edward finding that ball right then. And that's what Edward was doing. He was finding it right then. Even though they thought he was in school, Bevington knew that God was going to work a miracle here. And that's what we need to do all the time. All the time we pray is believe that God's going to work a miracle. Just like we prayed for, who was it we were praying for? Cheryl's, was it Cheryl? No, Malcolm. Those friends of his We just have to believe that God's going to do that. And all those other prayers that we pray for, people or the circumstances around us, we have to be very specific. Right on target, like Bevington said, hit the nail right on the head every time. And God will come through for us every time. Amen. All right, does anybody want to comment on that little story?
Yeah, that's a great reminder.
Brother,
we need to be... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Brother Michael.
Yeah, Pamela.
Yeah, this is just a minor comment, but I just wanted to tell you, you were pronouncing that right all along at first. It's croquet.
Okay, well, I never had a whole lot.
I never had a whole lot
of experience with croquet.
Well, follow your heart, and you know you'll get it right. It is croquet.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Chris.
I was just gonna say that's a great reminder. We need to be reminded of that kind of often. Be specific in the prayer.
Amen. Got to be on target. We can't miss the mark. We have to be right on target. And when you're on target, God hits it, man. I tell you, he'll perform those miracles for us.
Yeah, Brother Michael, I have a question about the story.
Okay.
Yeah, about the specific or the specificity. I was listening the best I could, but, you know, so when Mr. Bevington got there and, you know, he was inquiring about the problem and all, did he exactly ask God what to ask, or did God just lay it on his heart that was specifically the question he needed to, you know, or the specific, how specific did God tell him to pray?
Well, he was praying in the present tense, and he said this. Hang on, let me find it here. So when I began praying, Satan said, "It's foolish for you to say that God is showing Ned that ball now, for he is at school 5 blocks from there." So here comes the test. I knew I would have to claim that Jesus was showing him right then, where the ball was. So I kept praying up to the point, and the Holy Spirit kept leading me on. And in 2 or 3 minutes, I had reached the point. I said, "Yes, dear Jesus, thou art showing him right now." And, of course, Satan was talking to him, too. He said, "Hold on, he can't be doing that." Then I shouted it out. When he was getting those negative vibes from Satan, he started overcoming. He said, "Hey, he's doing it right now." And he shouted it as loud as he could. And he said it 3 times. And the 3rd time, the glory of God fell. So, yes, he was doing what the Holy Spirit told him to do.
Right. Well, this is a really, really great story because, I mean, I'm kind of convicted right now that, I mean, because I'm putting myself in that place and I'm thinking, well, how would I have prayed? I'm thinking I probably would have just prayed some general prayer like, "Well, God, you know, please let the ball show up." But, you know, the problem with that is, had the ball showed up in any way other than Ed finding it in a bramble bush, that still would not have proved that the little girl hadn't, you know, stolen the ball and then, you know, put it somewhere where someone else could make it show up. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, what I'm just amazed at is the prayer that was prayed was the really only one that should have been prayed to prove that she truly was innocent.
And not only that, to prove to that young man that she was of God.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. So, I mean, I'm really getting a lot out of that story because, like I said, it's showing me that I just need to seek God even more for, you know, specific. I mean, I do seek him for specific, but I just think there's another level to that.
Amen. Yes.
Anyway, thank you. That was really great.
Yeah. Yep. There is another level to it. And we all need to be cognizant of that. And it helped me too, Pamela, because sometimes I fall into that same trap, you know, of generalities in a prayer when I ought to be just specifically saying, Lord, I thank you for saving my daughter right now. I thank you, Lord. You know what I'm talking about. And we just be real specific, and we just believe, and we know that God's doing it right then. He's working in our prayers right then. That's what I got out of it, and it helped me a lot. We do that in certain things, but in other things, we just kind of mamby-pamby along, you know. But I think God wants us to be more specific because in the days ahead, it's going to be really valuable. It's going to be really valuable in how we pray. And hitting that nail right on the head is going to be crucial in people's lives. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Thank you, Pamela. Anybody else see anything else in there, in that story?
Well, one thing would be don't assume somebody's guilty until you can prove it.
Amen. Got to have at least two witnesses, don't you?
Amen.
That's what the word says. Two or three witnesses. You shouldn't judge. Amen. That's good, Marlon. Anybody else?
Hello?
Yes, sir, Andrew.
It shows that you have to be consistent in your prayer to not let any adversary take your prayer away by convincing you in another direction. Like he was showing some doubt as to whether he was supposed to go to the store and buy bread. But it just kept coming back to him, you know. And it, actually, the little child did the same thing, you know. When the voice came to him saying, go down this path, you know. Bevington went through the same thing. Should I go buy this bread or not, you know, for the poor family that he was going to. And no, he was supposed to go visit the little girl. And it just seemed like it was a repetitive thing twice. And the prayer of the mother for Bevington to come, and the prayer that Bevington was doing for that boy to do, to take the other path through the bramble bushes to find the ball. And that's very interesting, because we don't really know what happened when the mother was praying that he has to come now, that he has to come now. And of course, she was praying for 24 hours, but she probably came right to the state where he finally came through the door. You get what I'm saying?
Amen. Amen. Yeah, she was persistent. She was enduring in her faith to see it manifested, wasn't she? Praise
yeah,
God.
Yeah, and I was just actually reading that today in the book of Luke, where there was the evil judge there that didn't fear God or man, and a woman, it was a parable that Jesus gave on how you ought to pray and not faint, and chapter 18 of Luke. And I just finished reading that just before I came on the call. And, of course, the judge finally avenged the woman because she would always come back to him. And then verse 7 says, and shall not God avenge his elect that cry to him day and night, and he long-suffering over them? So he was using the parallel of this judge who was an unrighteous judge avenging this woman eventually, and how God would avenge his elect that cry to him night and day, and he long-suffering over them. I say unto you that he will avenge them speedily. And that's how that thing ends there.
Amen. I was thinking of that same story when I read this, of the persistent prayers. And that's how we got to be. We got to be persistent. Thank you, Lord.
So I have a bit of a dilemma myself, though.
What's that?
Because my sister usually invites us over to her place, but back in December for Christmas thing, we were invited to my brother's this time, and after the meal, you know, we had a little bit of a conversation about the Lord, and because they're all Roman Catholic, my conversation was very much not received by my sister, but I ended up saying, well, you know, I don't want to be offensive or anything, but I think we should all remember that we have a guardian and a teacher too, you know, that sort of speaks to us in our minds. And the conversation ended then, and the little get-together actually ended then. But this weekend, I'm invited to my sister's for what they call Palm Sunday, and for a meal with all my other brothers and sisters again. So I made a little plan. I actually went and bought the War Room movie from Walmart. And I saw another little movie there called Heaven is for Real. So I bought three copies of this to give to them as gifts to open on Easter. And I was hoping that this was going to work, so I asked the Lord about it. And I had a quarter in my pocket, and I flipped it and let it land on the floor. And twice it was heads. The third time it sort of went in the air and started coming against me, so I caught it between my hands, and I go, oh no, what do I do now? So I threw it on the floor, and it was the third head. So I had three heads, because I said in my prayer that if it's three heads, I should buy these little DVDs that it's based on a true story about a four-year-old boy that took a trip to heaven. And it's called Heaven is for Real. It happened somewhere in the States. And it just so happens that the quarter I was flipping to was an American quarter, and because I'm up here in Canada. And so I said a prayer for that this would be, you know, it's a church thing. You know, you'd think people would believe in heaven that go to this Wesleyan church, but they didn't believe that this boy actually went there, and supposed to be a true story. And he was 4 years old when it happened, and he had his dad, who was the pastor, stumped on this. So, anyway, just hope that they would see that sometimes people in your assemblies might say they believe things, but do they really? You know. And hopefully be used by them, because you know, it sometimes my brothers and sisters are nice to me, and I do like to see them maybe twice a year, but you know, I just don't know where they're at, because they're all in that church, and I don't really talk to them much, but they know I'm different from them, and I just hope that the Lord would use this to reach them, and to actually have a start for something, for them to realize that that there is things happening, that God is sovereign over, to help his people, you know, and to show them that there's more to it than what they're being taught in their denominations. And well, that's kind of my prayer up to the Lord for this.
Well, do you want to pray for your family that God would open up their eyes to see the spiritual realities in the, out of these movies, and that it would change their life?
Yeah, that's basically it.
Okay, and we'll believe with you.
Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters. They have, like my brother's name has he's got a weird first name. His name is Zbyshek. Zbyshek, Christina, and Anna and Christopher. I pray that this movie that they will have as a gift would be from you, because you did make the quarter go on three heads, and I felt that this would show them how a little child was used by you to tell them that heaven is for real, and that these people in this church were having a big problem about this, and that perhaps there are things in their life that that they think they believe, but they really don't. And I pray, Father, that through this movie that you would draw them to you, to see that there might be things that they're believing that is not right, and there might be things that they think they're believing and they're really not. And I just pray, Father, that this would be an opening for you get some reason and some teaching and some guidance to them. In Jesus' name I pray that this would draw them for their salvation, for your glory, Father. Amen.
Amen. Do you mind if I pray, Andrew?
By all means, go right ahead.
Okay. Well, Father, I thank you for answering Andrew's prayer, Lord. We're hooking all of our faith together with him, that his immediate family are going to be changed dramatically by this movie. And Father, we thank you that you're going to do a mighty work when they see this movie, that their spiritual heart would open up to the truth of the gospel. They're going to have questions, and Andrew's going to be able to answer them through your help, Lord, through your guidance, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that we're going to be looking for a mighty miracle here in Andrew's family, Lord. You've changed people before. You've changed Catholic people to Protestant people to Christians, to true Christians. And Father, we thank you that this is exactly what's going to happen in Andrew's family. And Lord, we just praise you and we glorify you for bringing his family into the kingdom in a mighty glorious way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And we just praise you, Lord, that it's going to happen. It's already happened 2,000 years ago, because all things are possible with you, Lord. For all things are possible with God, you say in Mark chapter 10 and verse 27. With men, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And we praise you, Father. You said when your people pray and they believe what they pray, we shall have it. And I'm believing, Lord, right along with Andrew, that his family is coming into the kingdom in a great and mighty way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. And everybody said amen because they believe it, right? Amen.
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 Hey, Michael, can I pray that God will also till up the fallow ground so that it will be soft, their hearts will be soft enough to receive the word and receive the truth on fertile ground?
Go right ahead, Cheryl.
I just pray, Father, that you, in the time before they receive these movies, that you bring things to their mind and to their heart, and things that they will experience to till up that hardened heart and that that doubt and unbelief and the false teachings, Lord, that you just work something in them and just give them a soft heart and a receiving heart and till up whatever ground that needs to be broken up and move things out of the way that they will receive this word and this true guidance and receive our prayers on fertile ground so that it will grow into a great and mighty faith and be delivered and brought into salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Well, all right. Hey, Andrew, did you say you were sending the war room too?
Oh, no. Just this Heaven Is For Real.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I got the war room for myself. A very nice movie. Yeah.
Okay. Praise God. I saw that somebody gave me that war room here a while back, let me use it, and I watched it. It's a pretty good movie about prayer and answers to prayer.
Yeah.
Boy, that little lady in that closet, now she was a fireball now, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, you had me going. I was in tears.
Yeah, me too. I was shouting with her, man. I tell you, glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I think you can get it on the internet free too, but I just want to get it there. I just bought it. And
yeah.
They got some, and I noticed this title there too at the Walmart. So.
Okay.
It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It really is.
Yeah.
Okay, anybody else got anything they want to add or comment about praying and how we should be doing it, or would like to pray about something, or just comment on the glories of God, whatever you want to talk about? Question. Anybody got any question? I'm sure somebody got an answer. Hey, Albert.
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah. Marlon, go ahead.
Yeah, this isn't a prayer or anything, but I was just going to comment on that. Heaven Is For Real. That little boy was from Western Nebraska. That's I know the town. I used to go through there all the time. It's a small farming community. So to us, that was a really, close to home.
Oh, okay. I don't guess I've seen that movie there. I don't guess I've ever. That's what happened. That little boy die or something? Go to heaven?
Well, he went. God took him to heaven, yeah, and he showed him things that he didn't even know. You know, like he had a sibling that had died earlier, and he didn't even know about it. And God showed him things like that.
Awesome. I bet that really shocked his parents.
Yeah, it's a good book. We've given it to several people, and everybody has really liked it. We had the book. We didn't watch the movie. I assume they're pretty much the same.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Praise God. How long ago did that take place? Was that years ago, or? He's probably a young man by now.
Yeah, it's been several years ago. I'm not too sure how long ago it's been, but yeah, he is, because I've seen pictures of him now, and he's like a teenager now.
Okay, what's that, Andrew?
I think it was 2005. I think he's like 15 now, the boy, a young teenager.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I watched Sid Roth, I think it was yesterday, with Chris Dupre, and this was a guy that his father, when he was young, was a war hero, but he had a lot of problems when he came back from the war, And he would just beat this kid all the time. He'd take all his frustration out on his kid. And finally, his mother came home one day early and found that her husband had beat this boy and hurt him bad, you know. And that's when she moved out, and he grew up without that father. He was probably 10 or 11 years old when they moved out. And after going to school, he went to school, he went to college, and got involved in drugs and stuff like that. He was actually a great athlete, good athlete, and had gotten a scholarship, but he blew his knees out or something. I don't remember exactly what. I think he was I don't remember what kind of athlete he was. But anyway, his sister and his mother got filled with the Holy Spirit. They got saved. They got filled with the Holy Spirit. And, man, they were on fire for God. And his sister came and picked him up one day, and they were going back to the house with some friends that were saved as well. And she was ministering to him and telling him the things that God had shown her and how God had might put joy and peace in her heart and all of these things and how she trusted God for everything. And you know, and he was just kind of, yeah, that kind of thing. And then they all got out, and he was the last one. He was in the back seat in the middle, I guess. And when they all got out, he was the last one out. And before he closed the door, he heard a voice say, "Everything that your sister told you is the truth." And she had told him about Jesus, you know. And, boy, he thought that was kind of weird. But anyway, God worked in his life. Let me see. Took him to heaven, actually. One day, it took him to heaven. He was in his bedroom, he said. He was in his bedroom. And then all of a sudden, he said he found himself out in this meadow. And he saw this person come walking toward him. And it was Jesus. And Jesus was talking to him and telling him, you know, I love you, son. I love you deeper than anyone else could love you. I really love you, you know, because he'd never had a love from a father. And Jesus was telling him these things. And the guy picked up some grass just to make sure this wasn't a dream. He picked up some grass and stuck it in his mouth and ate it, you know, and said, "Oh, this is real. This is real," you know. And he spit the grass out. And of course, then Jesus, before it was all over with, to make a long story short, he just touched him right on his chest. "This is how much I love you." And he put his hand on his chest, and all the hurt, all the pain, all the heartaches, all the unforgiveness just left him in an instant. Left him in an instant. And then, of course, after it was all over, he got back in and he was telling people about it or telling his sister about it. And he came to Christ, you know, of course. And then he was relating. He was I think he went back to school or something, and some of his friends says, "What is that in your teeth?" And it was the grass that he had picked up out there and stuck in his mouth to make sure that it was real. And it was the grass that was still caught between his teeth. So he knew that was a real encounter with Jesus. It was a personal. Jesus was there in person, and it was just an awesome time. And he told about some other things that had happened during his life and how his relationship with his dad was restored. The Lord told him at a family gathering, you know, that he was there, the father was there, and they all got together. And the dad was not a Christian at the time. And the Lord told Chris, he said, "Now I want you to go up there and tell your dad that you love him." And he said, "But Lord, he's not going to receive me." He said, "I do what I ask you to. Go up there and tell your dad you love him." So he walks over there And he said, Dad, he said, and his dad said, what do you want? And he said, I just wanted to tell you how much I love you. And the Lord told him right then, he said, put your arm around your dad. And he said, but Lord, I don't want to. He's liable to hit me or something, you know. And that's what he said. He said, he's liable to hit me, Lord. He said, I said, put your arm around him. And as soon as he put his arm around him, his dad broke up and broke down and cried like a baby. Both of them. And they cried and they cried and they cried and they cried all those tears of pain out of their life. And you know, from that day forward, they became the best of friends. And all of that hurt and all of that pain that was in his father and in him was gone again, was gone out of his father at that time. And God restored their relationship. And it's just a moving, moving testimony of God's grace and his mercy upon our lives. Every one of us has probably got a similar, maybe not quite as dramatic as that, but a similar type of story. Praise God. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to comment on or talk about?
I just got in on the conference call, so I'm going to have to listen to the rerun. How soon will it be on online?
Well, as soon as Brad can download it and put it up there. I don't know how long it takes him. Probably, well, I really don't know. I don't. Oh. I don't know.
Has it on just like at least within an hour.
Oh, really?
Great. Okay.
Usually, yeah.
Yeah, Linda, you just missed it, girl. Oh,
oh
my goodness!
It
has. Oh, it's been an awesome time tonight.
Well, I'll just praise the Lord through it when I check for an hour.
Amen. No, it was good. I was kind of kidding you, but no, we've had a good time tonight. Really good time.
It's a blessing from God.
Amen. It is. It's a blessing from God. Do you know something, y'all? I've got to tell you that it has been such a blessing for me these last 2 weeks to come on to this. It used to be kind of a drudgery to come on. I don't know if... Well, no, really, it did, because I was kind of... I didn't know what was going to happen, you know. But these last few weeks, we seem to have gotten a little more open with each other, and we're sharing a lot more, and it's just been a blessing, actually.
Yeah.
It really has.
It's growing in our hearts. You know, God is knitting us together.
Yep. Yep, he is. You know, hey, Kurt, are you still on here? Let's see. Yeah, right. Kurt. Hey, do you mind relating that vision about the golden cord that you had 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah, we were at the boarding house. It actually started with Sandy going out and dancing in the rain. Wanted to roll her pants like it because it was drizzling rain. It was close to sundown, and wanted to go out and dance in the rain, and she did. This is before her foot was removed, but I had the vision after her foot was removed that she did the same thing. And she's out there in the vision dancing, and her feet, both feet are glowing. And then eventually we were all out there, and God was sewing a golden thread through all of our hearts, knitting us together, body of Christ, and I just thought that was really cool.
That's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah. And at one of the boarding house meetings we had, more than one. There's been two or three of them that while we were over there in that house, that the glory of God came down, and it was real, real joy and peace in everybody's heart. And he had dropped in my spirit. He said, "When all of my people come into one accord, that's when the anointing will come."
Amen.
And we are so close now. We are so close. And I believe it's coupled with that golden thread that God showed Kurt, that as we get this needle going through our hearts, and I believe that's the love of God for each one of us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And once he puts that golden thread, gets that golden thread around into our hearts, all the way through our hearts, he's going to pull it tight and bring us all together in the love of God. And then it's just going to be an awesome time. I believe revival will break out, the anointing of the former in its fullness, the former rain in its fullness, and the latter rain as well.
A dynamo explosion.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's going to be an awesome time in the Lord. And I believe I've seen in the last 2 weeks, I don't know why, but it's just been in my heart that the Holy Spirit has been more evident in these conference calls, and people have started opening up a lot more, and it's just been awesome for me. Anyway,
I'm glad,
and I hope.
I'm so glad you're encouraged, because we all are encouraged.
Amen. Praise God. Hey, Chad, do you want to add anything to that? Have you noticed a change in the makeup of the conference calls here recently?
Yeah, I sure have. And I know that, the cleansing work that the Lord has done has made a big difference. And so just allow him to keep doing his good work in us.
Amen.
Huh?
You're alive. I love it.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Marlon, do you see a change? Have you seen a change in the conference calls here recently? Or is anybody? I'd like to, find out if you all think that there has been.
Yeah, I think so. I noticed more people talk and just seem more open than before.
Amen. Yeah, I think so. I believe so.
Yeah.
Michael,
yeah, I'm
too. Okay. You see, that was Terry, wasn't it?
No, that was Malcolm.
Yeah.
No, maybe Terry too. Go ahead, Terry.
At the same time, I just said yeah. I noticed.
Okay, what'd you say, Malcolm?
I was just going to say I just wanted to address what you had just been. Were you talking about a movie or where the father and the son situation was going on? Uh-oh, the mute button. Well, let me just say, while you're working on that mute button there, Michael.
Oh, sorry. I was talking. Okay. You couldn't hear me talking. No, yeah, it was a Sid Roth 30-minute or an hour show or something like that I saw.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've already talked about this before, I'm sure, but one thing I really have liked that I've run into since 2007 is the gift of where, like, personal prophecy, where somebody is really speaking into somebody else's life, and they're speaking to situations that nobody's known about other than that person, and that to me that's so cool and amazing, because there's so much healing that can take place, as that gift is happening. But I was just thinking of my own life there, the reason I'm bringing this up is I think some of us can relate to this. When in our early years, when we're adolescents, things can happen that can be really traumatic, even though for an adult it might not be that quite as big a deal. I know for me it's really one of the big things that the Lord made clear to me was, since I'd been through some stuff that was pretty rough, one of the big things for me was I couldn't tell anybody anything about it. For whatever reason, it was my own phobias or fears that, what would people think, or, whatever was keeping me from talking about it as a kid. And it was so funny, or not funny, it was so wonderful when the Lord made it clear to me that he was there that whole time, and he was And it was, and he understood all that. He saw everything, and he understood everybody's motivations behind what was happening. And to me, that was a huge deal to realize that. And then I could kind of relax, and it was like a lot of that was just taken care of, just from that knowledge. So that's a neat story about the father and the son. The son was really reluctant to follow through with the Lord's command, and yet there's such a healing that took place there. I just love this healing thing where people have been through the most terrible things. They get dysfunctional. I mean, just adults, you know, older people that we know, or you know, that they can hardly function in society. They're misfits. They're, you know, they can't be really productive because they have these phobias and stuff. And then they meet the Lord. All this healing takes place, and suddenly there's a huge change. I think it's just incredible demonstration of God's power when that happens.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, well, we're running out of time. Has anybody got any prayer requests before we get out of here? Well, thank you so much for coming tonight. And I would like to ask, Malcolm, do you mind dismissing us with prayer?
Where's my mute button? Yeah, that should be fine.
Okay.
If you don't keep track of where your mute button is, who knows? It could get pretty ugly.
Amen.
So, okay, sure. Lord, I just thank you so much for this incredible opportunity. We all have our different lives, and sometimes we just feel so separated from each other, or we don't really know what's going on in other people's lives that are here on this conference call. And we just meet at best a couple times a week. And Lord, I thank you that you're the Lord of all. You know all of our lives. You know all the intricacies and all the stuff that needs to be fixed, and we just want to claim that promise that you have made us meet or fit for the inheritance of the saints in light. You've already done that, and help us not to look at what we and spend our time thinking about our failures and where we haven't quite made the cut, or even when we've obviously totally missed out together. Lord, I just thank you that we can trust in you, and we can, if you grant us repentance, then you've granted us repentance, Lord. And if you will turn us, we will have been turned. And Lord, we want to pray, all of us, Lord, that you will turn us to fully be facing you and to be totally about your kingdom, like Jesus was. And he said when he was 12, to be about my Father's business. And I pray that you put that in us too, Lord. There's so many things around us, distractions, things that look like they're pretty necessary. Lord, I just pray that everything grows strangely dim in the light of your glorious face. And just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good night, everybody. God bless.